Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and this episode of this podcast, you're going to hear Bond Richards, the writer and director and cinematographer of the film First States, and more to come. But we're going to hear Bond Richards answer the four questions, the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should look up. And hey, Bond.
Hello.
We are chatting on Skype, so we're on opposite coasts, so we can't be sitting across the table at two mics. And Bond's film First States is in season 4, episode 1 of the Discovery Indie Film TV series. Super proud to have it be a part of it. Great film, hilarious film. So here we go. I'm curious. You've got the dark comedy in your bones, so I'm curious what your favorite films are going to be.
Babes. My favorites are, so it's hard because you limited me to three.
Limited you to three. Although if you want, you can say you can go a little longer.
I'm going to stick to three, and I don't want to provide like too much context or reasoning for why, because they're just good. But I'm going to say that the movie that like animated me to make movies was Saving Private Ryan, specifically the first 20 minutes of that movie. You taste adrenaline when you're watching it, even like the 10th time you watch it. So it's insanely affecting. The next one would be The Shining. I can go back to The Shining, and I have more times than I'm aware. And both those movies I saw when I was young. Saving Private Ryan was fifth grade. Shining was probably earlier. And it was on TV, and it blew my mind. The horror in it, and it's so slow and evil that it kind of works its way in. And then I go back to the movie Antichrist, Lars von Trier's movie. Too much. it's so dark and so strange, but so very beautiful and original. It's like the perfect movie. It's as few moving parts as you could afford to have in a movie, but just totally tense. So I'm very impressed by that movie. I saw that during college. I was in college at the time, and I had never seen anything like that. And then he is like a portal. Von Trier is a portal to other really great movies and movies of that kind. They live in a different kind of place.
For sure, and Antichrist is one of those films that lets Willem Dafoe do what he does, which is just out of this world good.
Yeah, it's so good. So I would say those three: Shining, Private Ryan, Antichrist. Got so many more, but I think those movies make me want to make movies.
And for sure, those are from filmmakers who know how to flex the filmmaking muscle, so to speak. There's nothing passive about what they do. I'm curious. I'm just going to throw this in. This might be a bad idea, but what did you love the fact that Spielberg in Ready Player One dove right into The Shining, and all of a sudden we get like Spielberg reinterpreting The Shining in that movie? Or did you not see Ready Player One?
I've seen Ready Player.
Well, now you got a spoiler for it. But yeah, there's like a big chunk of The Shining is in Ready Player One, directed by Spielberg.
How did he do that?
Well, you'd have to have read the book. It's actually not in the book, but the Ready Player One is sort of set in the future about, and they're investigating they're trying to find an Easter egg laid by like a Steve Wozniak sort of character who left a fortune for the person who can find an Easter egg in basically a game. And he loved The Shining. So they actually go into The Shining and they're living within the movie of The Shining, trying to find an Easter egg in it. So
interesting.
So now I might have piqued your interest in Ready Player One, but
yeah, I'll check that out for sure.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Spielberg is the man. Yeah, he's incredible.
He is, and look, you've got Kubrick on your list too, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all equally visual.
Absolutely. All right, well, the next one that comes up is an underrated film.
So I've always felt like I provide unsatisfactory answers for these types of questions, most underrated and most overrated. But I can say that in the Coen brothers catalog of movies, Burn After Reading is their funniest movie. Best comedic performances. I think it's a funnier comedy than The Big Lebowski, but it's far lesser known than Lebowski. Even though it's kind of the same movie, where you're at the center of the whirlwind of issues, it's just a misunderstanding. So there's sort of like there's nothing at the center of all of these conflicts. But in Burn After Reading, it's funnier throughout. I don't know if you'd call it nihilism, but like the absence of a lesson is nailed so much harder at the end of Burn After Reading, where it results in like the death of a well-meaning ex-priest and just the CIA file being closed on the line. Like, so what did we learn from all of this? Fuck if I know. Don't let it happen again. You know, it's like the perfect it's the perfect dark pitch black comedy.
For sure, I love that choice. My I normally don't let my list out much, but I think my underrated is Miller's Crossing, because
yeah,
I think it's one of the most perfect films ever made. And everyone, I love all the other Coen films, but like people loving Fargo, people loving this, people loving that. And I'm like, no, I say to people, what about Miller's Crossing? And a lot haven't even seen it. So
yeah, it is.
I think it's flawless.
Yeah.
But the Coens are.
Yeah, they're as funny as they come.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because it's so easy to see them as dramatic, but they are comedy writers.
They are. Yeah.
They sit down and write a script. They're like, how funny can we make this?
Yeah. Yeah. They squeeze humor into No Country for Old Men. They're moments of joy in that movie that are so understated. Yeah, they're brilliant. And yeah, I wanted to find a way to fit them into my three top faves, but I thought, okay, I could squeeze them into the underrated, but have it underrated within, you know, the catalog of their other movies.
For sure, for sure. And encouraging people to go deeper in the catalog, which is always good. All right, well, overrated.
Overrated. I thought Parasite was very overrated. I don't know if very, but it was overrated, I thought.
I'm with you. I get it. I mean, Parasite was really good.
Yeah,
because overrated doesn't mean it's bad. Overrated just means, but yeah, why did Parasite rise above all other films? I mean, it's just a really good, quirky, interesting, original thing.
Yeah, it was the most recent overrated movie I could think of having seen. I thought the characters were shallow. I thought that the tension, or they were reasonably shallow. the tension didn't. It didn't like double or mount sufficiently. It was a very promising first half, but I thought that the tension hit a plateau at some point in the middle of the movie, and that it didn't deliver on its promises. But I thought the final montage was a brilliant montage, like a truly brilliant montage. With the son's voiceover and the father, you know, emerging from underground. So there was a lot I liked about it, but I thought overall it was was like a really well shot, idiosyncratic movie that didn't deliver on its promises.
I'm with you. I'd add, again, love the film, and I'll probably watch it a couple more every once in a while for years, just because it's so original. But my love for the main characters waned throughout, and I came to sort of be on Team Rich Family.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe that was the subversive element of that movie.
Yeah. It probably was intentional, but like my empathy for the poor people kind of went away because they really got a little too, they went a little too far.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure who said this, but my brother and I were talking about, we were talking about that movie, and it's like one of those movies where everybody feels like a sociopath. Like there's very little human going on and in any of them. It's like their motivations are so basic and easy to understand, but ultimately selfish. And that could have been the intention. But even if it's the intention, it doesn't mean it's, you know, that good.
Well, and interestingly, bravo to Parasite, because it can launch us. We could probably have a long discussion about the film. So that's great. It has great merits. But, you know, the Academy gave it Best Picture in a year. I'm forgetting what lost to it. And Lord knows, for over 50 years of my life, I've always felt that the Academy ignores the best film and gives it to something else.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it. But, yeah, because everyone in America who's a cinephile decided that Parasite was amazing, yeah, it's a little overrated. For sure.
Sure.
All right. Last one is something lesser known to seek out.
I saw this movie recently, so it's like it's on my mind, and it's like my favorites. It's animating me to want to make movies. So those are always my favorite movies, the ones that make me want to go out there and do it. This one's called Thou Wast Lovely and Mild, and it's by this director Josephine Decker. It's on the Criterion channel. It's hard to summarize exactly. It's a short movie. It's like maybe an hour, about a man who joins this family consisting of a father and a daughter as a farmhand on their small, maybe cattle farm. And it turns into this like, psychosexual kind of freak out by the end of it. But there are these just wild, really good performances, but really wild storytelling techniques, including there's like this part that's told from the perspective of a cow. and it's totally unforeseen. Like there's no precedent, but it sets up a plot point in a way that I'd never seen done before. I won't spoil it if you happen to check it out. Thou Wast Lovely and Mild.
I want to check it out. It is something lesser known I should seek out, and it sounds very cool.
It's really cool, and it
sounds like it's surprising in the way like Midsommar was like shocking and surprising. Like you just don't expect the stories to come out of this.
Yeah, this is like small. The scale is so small. And it's just a few characters on this farm, and they're attracted to one another. And then when they hit, it's like catastrophic, you know.
Cool. Well, I pulled it up while we were talking, and That Was Mild and Lovely was 2014, written and directed by Josephine Decker. I'll give her credit. And excellent. Excellent pick. I'm now you've given me homework, because I want to watch this.
Cool. Yeah. I hope you like it. I loved it.
Excellent. All right. Well, I guess it's time to wrap it up. You want to mention, now that people have heard your list, you want to mention your social media or website again?
Yeah, sure. Hothouse.media is my production company's site. On Instagram, I'm Bond Richards, my name, and I think I'm the only one there with that name. Yeah, got things coming out. I'd love people to see.
You know, you should thank your parents for the name. It's a good name.
Yeah, I was kind of fated to like movies, I guess.
Whereas I should really be angry with my parents, because I think there's only like, you know, 100,000 Jeff Howards in this country alone. It's two first names, kind of a curse.
It's a good stable name.
It's I definitely don't sound like I'm gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me wrap it up with the Discover Indie Film TV series that Bond's film is in. It's on Amazon Prime Video. Just go to Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film, and it's in season 4, episode 1, which is 2 really funny comedies in that episode. And if you want to learn more about that TV series or hear a bunch of cool interviews with filmmakers, go to discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's at DIFWINS. And the film festival that Bond submitted for States to, and it was an official selection, and I got to meet him that way. That's Film Invasion Los Angeles. That's every June. FilmInvasionLA.com and at FilmInvasionLA on social media. Proud to know that Film Invasion LA premiered for States. Festival premiere. Sadly, it was online, so not theatrical premiere in a way, but what are you going to do? It was COVID. And there's one more film festival to mention, which is the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that happens every November. And you can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com or at ShermanOaksFF on social media. Proudly in Film Freeway's top 100 best reviewed festivals. We're proud of that. And we cannot figure out why Sherman Oaks and Film Invasion have almost the same number of 5-star reviews, and one's in the top 100 and one goes in and out of the top 100. We live in a world of algorithms, I guess. All right. Well, thanks, Bond.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
It was a pleasure. And thank you to anyone who listened to this.